Tonight we're going to talk about an absolutely critical anchor for me when a storm hits. And here it is. Anchor number three is this. God will always give me everything I need. This simple idea is so powerful. Understanding the implications of this, understanding what this really means, this is a powerful thing, that God will always give me everything that I need. It's this idea that God takes this responsibility on himself. This is a burden that he is willing to bear, a weight that he carries for you. He will give you what you need. God is a good father, and he delights in giving good gifts to his children. Now, listen, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about this fact that this idea of God's provision is often misunderstood. We have to do a little bit of work to understand this the right way. The theology of God's provision is often misinterpreted. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But really, at the end of the day, here's the meat of what we're talking about, that God really does take it upon himself to provide for you. And when the storm hits, as it were, when there's chaos in your life, that is something that is a powerful idea. To know that in any and every circumstance, God will give me what I need to face the challenge that is in front of me. Listen, as a Christian, this is something that you need. This is an idea, an anchor, as it were, that you need. Because as you go through life, you have very real, very difficult problems, very pressing needs. And when you don't think about this, when you don't believe this, you end up worrying. You really do. You know, God, it's like God takes it upon himself to carry this burden of providing for you. But when you start worrying incessantly, it's kind of like reaching over and taking that burden off of God and heaving it on your shoulders and trying to carry it yourself. And it's something that you're not intended to carry. And this is something that's just an incredible anchor for my soul, to know that God will provide for what I need. I watched a documentary this week about a guy named Alex Honnold. He's the guy, he climbed this El Capitan without any ropes. I found a picture of this. This is him. I mean, this is like thousands of feet in the air, and this is him climbing this thing, no ropes. You know, I was thinking about that. Sometimes when you go through life forgetting the reality that God is a God who provides for you, it can kind of feel like you're this guy. You're hanging on, and if you lose your grip, I mean, it's up to you. If you lose your grip, that's it. That's it. But listen, that's not the reality. You have a rope. God is a God who provides for your needs. You need this anchor because when you believe in this, you have a level of confidence that you wouldn't have if you don't believe there's a rope. You have boldness to take risks, boldness to step out in faith when you believe, I know that God will, in fact, provide even in the middle of a storm. So let's turn together to our text for tonight. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to see what God has to say about this. The Bible talks a whole lot about God's provision. A lot of places I could have gone to Psalms 34:10, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Or Matthew 6, where Jesus instructs us, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. God knows you need those things, but seek first the kingdom and he will provide those things to you. Had to sneak a couple in there. There's a lot of places I could have gone, but I wanted to land on one primary passage, and that's Philippians chapter 4. We're going to really look at verse 19, but this is a verse that is often maybe misquoted or it's taken out of context. So I want to read the context. I want you to see it. So start in verse 10, Philippians chapter 4. It says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have abundance. I am amply supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to look at verse 19, and then we're actually going to back up and look at some of the other passage as well. Philippians 4:19 is a very familiar passage. Probably many of you have this memorized. I want to start by making a couple of observations about this text. First, I want you to notice that in this book, Paul is writing from prison. It's really an astounding thing. I mean, reading a letter from somebody who is in prison, there's some debate about, is this a dungeon? Is this more like house arrest? But regardless, Paul is a prisoner, even if he's just under strict house arrest. Maybe you feel like you've had some house arrest in the last couple weeks. But Paul's in prison, and really he's writing a thank you note here. At the end of this letter, he's writing a thank you note. They've given a gift to Paul, and he's very thankful. And so notice technically who this is addressed to. It's written to Christians who themselves were practicing generosity. Another observation. Notice the contrast that Paul makes between, he says, my God, and he says, will supply your needs. So the contrast, my God, your needs. I thought that was interesting. He could have said, and your God will supply all your needs. But he doesn't. He says, my God will supply. It's almost as if Paul is saying, the God who's provided for my needs is the same God who will provide for your needs as well. It's like he's saying, as sure as God has provided for me, he will provide for you. Another observation. Paul says God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I was reading about this. It's interesting that Paul says God will supply all your needs according to his riches, not out of his riches. In other words, the idea isn't that God has the storehouse of riches and he goes into it and gets your supplies, your needs out of that storehouse. The idea is more like this. It's God gives gifts according to the riches of his glory. It's like God is a glorious God, and so his gifts are glorious. God will provide according to his riches in glory. Another observation, this word supply, it means to fill up. And so it's kind of like you have a cup, it's an empty cup, you have a need, and God supplies. He fills you up with the thing that you are lacking. And then one more very simple observation. God, my God, will supply all your needs, every single one, all of the needs that the Philippian Christians have, God will provide for. This is an amazing verse. It's a beautiful truth that God will, in fact, he takes it upon himself and he delights in doing this, in providing the things that you need. It's not something that he wants you to carry the burden of. God will give you everything you need. Okay, but there's some objections to this. And maybe we might say some major objections to this. This doesn't seem to be true. Like, saying that God will give me everything that I need, maybe there are times that you feel like that just doesn't seem accurate. The truth of the matter is that some Christians do, in fact, go hungry. Like today, there are Christians in the world who are hungry. That's a real thing that happens. There are some Christians who are so poor that they lack clothing. That is a real thing. There are Christians who get sick and they need medical attention and they don't get it and they pass away. That happens. There are Christians who are killed. These are some objections. We think you hear a verse like that, and you think, boy, that just doesn't seem right. And to top it all off, you may have times in your life where you prayed for something. I mean, you poured out your heart to God for something, and God answered with a no. So how do we understand this? I mean, the reality is that sometimes Christians experience hunger, sickness, poverty, nakedness, and even death. So, like, how does this fit together? Does God provide for our needs, or doesn't He? I think the theology of God's provision is often misunderstood. I think some people understand this idea that God provides for my needs to mean basically that Christians will not suffer. I've heard people say things like, God may not give you everything you want, but He will at least provide you with food and clothes and shelter. Like, as a Christian, you're at least guaranteed that baseline of things throughout all time of your life. Is that true? Is it true that you are guaranteed to have food and clothes and shelter as a Christian? I would argue no, it's not the case. Jesus said some startling things. He said things like Matthew 24:9, to paraphrase, some of you guys are going to be arrested, some of you are going to be persecuted, some of you are going to be killed, and by the way, a lot of people are going to hate you because you are my followers. Jesus is just saying very plainly, some of you will be killed. You read the Bible and you find people of God who experience sickness. Job experiences sickness. Paul experiences prison and hunger. We're going to see that he doesn't have enough food. Romans 8 asks, shall nakedness separate us from the love of Christ? In other words, even if you as a Christian experience nakedness, not having enough clothes, does that mean that God doesn't love you? No, it doesn't. So it follows it's possible for a Christian to be in that situation. In fact, Jesus, the one that we are following, at times He didn't even have shelter. Like, He said things like, birds at least have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay His head. So according to the Bible, godly Christians can in fact be hungry. They can in fact lack clothing and shelter and health and money, and they can even be killed. So there's kind of some objections here. Like, that sure doesn't sound like any kind of a safety rope to me. Sure doesn't sound like God gives us everything you need. So I think we could boil it down to this. If we're going to summarize it, how can you say that God provides everything you need, but then you're still in need? That is a good question. Back to Philippians 4. Remember that Paul's a man who experienced some very real needs. I mean, at this moment that Paul's writing this letter, he's in jail. He's a prisoner. He talks in other places about he's a prisoner of the Lord. He talks about he is an ambassador of the gospel in chains. Perhaps that meant actual literal chains, like Paul is chained to a wall. I don't know about you, but I'd say that being a prisoner in chains counts as having needs. Paul has very real needs. Look at this verse, back up to verse 12 of chapter 4. He says, I know how to be brought low. It's like he's experienced these things. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. It's like he's experienced seasons of not having enough food and abundance and need. So it's like Paul's admitting, yeah, there have been times I've been brought low, times I've faced hunger, times I was just going on existing and I had needs. So Paul is a man who has very real needs. But he says something very puzzling. He says essentially, yeah, but I don't have any needs. Look at the verse before this, verse 11. He says this, not that I'm speaking of being in need. How do we understand this? Like, what? Look at this from verse 18. He says, but I have received everything in full. He's thanking them for their gift. And have abundance. I am amply supplied. So Paul, the prisoner, perhaps the guy chained to the wall at this point. Other versions say, I have all I need. Like, what? In other words, he's saying, I don't have any needs, despite the fact that I, at various times, have needed things. So we're back to this question. We're back to this idea. How can you have very real physical needs and yet say with Paul, God has provided for all my needs? How is that possible? This is the crux. This is the very important question we've got to answer. Here's the thing. When God promises to supply all our needs, you have to ask this question. God will provide everything I need for what? When you go on a trip, you pack everything that you need. That is to say, you pack everything you're going to need for the journey. When you're a soldier, you go to war, he brings everything he needs. Everything he needs for what? Everything he needs for the battle. Listen, when Christians say that God will provide everything you need, we are saying that God takes it upon himself to provide everything you need to accomplish the assignment that he has given to you. So when we say God will give you everything you need, we're saying God will give you everything you need to do his will. Listen, God gives different assignments to different people. To some, like Daniel, he calls to influence kings. Some like David, he calls to actually be a king. To some like Stephen, the path of following God results in Stephen being a martyr. And it's not saying that Stephen sought death in any way. It's just that him following Christ resulted in his death. To some, like Lydia, the assignment God gave her, he gives her a business, she's given great wealth, and then she uses that to bless people like Paul. God gives different assignments to different people. And when we say that God will give you everything you need, we're saying God will give you everything you need to accomplish the assignment he gives you. I like this quote from John Piper. He says, "Everything you need, all the drink you need, all the food you need, all the housing you need, all the transportation you need, all the education you need, all the money you need, and all the health you need will be yours in order to do my will, in order to do God's will." In other words, God has given an assignment, a mission, a path for each Christian, and God takes it upon himself to provide everything that you will need to accomplish that mission. And that should give you really an incredible source of excitement. If God wants you to be an author and write books that will point thousands of people to Christ, count on it. God will give you everything you need to do so. He'll give you all the education and money and connections that you need. If it's God's mission for you to be a mom and to raise godly kids and to not be an author, count on it. God will give you everything you need to accomplish that mission. All the sanity, all the peanut butter and jelly, the house you need. God will give you what you need to accomplish the mission that he gives you. And listen, because our mission comes from God, that means that they each have significance and value. And if God's mission is for you to get cancer and die, and in the process point hundreds to Christ because they see your loyalty to Jesus, then count on it. God will give you absolutely everything you need to accomplish that mission. And if God's mission for you is to be thrown in prison because you're a Christian, so that the guards hear about Jesus and so that other Christians are inspired with courage to live for Jesus, then God will give you every need to accomplish that mission. By the way, that's exactly where Paul is at. Early in Philippians, Paul wrote this. He wrote this in chapter 1, verse 12. He said, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." This is amazing. Paul is saying this whole prison thing actually turned out for the advance of the gospel. The mission that God has given me is thriving. The guards are hearing about Jesus. Christians are being emboldened to preach Christ. God has given me everything I need to accomplish the mission He's given me. See, this is why Paul can say, yeah, I have had hunger at times. Yeah, I'm chained to a wall. Yeah, I have needs. But God has given me everything I need to accomplish the mission He's given me. So Christians, let us rejoice in God's provision. God grants us a mission, an assignment, and then He gives us everything we need to accomplish that. He carries the burden. He puts it on His back. He takes it on Himself to provide for you. One of my heroes is a man named Hudson Taylor. He lived a couple hundred years ago. He left for China as a missionary, and then he had a vision to inspire hundreds of Christians to go as missionaries in China. And he wrote this great quote. He said, "Depend upon it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. He is too wise a God to frustrate His purposes for lack of funds. If God has called you to something, you can depend on it. God will give you everything you need to accomplish that mission." Here's why that is an anchor to me. Because I can know as I go through life, if I am doing God's work, and if I'm doing it God's way, if I'm doing the mission God has given to me, then God will give me, and He'll delight to give me, everything I need to accomplish that mission. And that means that I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I don't have to be thinking, I'm not going to have enough to do God's will. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to think God's going to hold me accountable for doing X, Y, and Z, and it all rests on my back. And if somehow I can't provide, I'm going to fail at doing God's will. No. Saints, listen, you will always have enough to do what God has called you to do because God will give it to you. God is a God who will give you everything He needs, everything you need. This idea, it's so powerful to me because I can trust God. I can even step out in faith because I know that God will provide the money I need, the education I need, my family, all the health that I need, that rests on Him. That's a burden that God is willing to bear. But this anchor also gives me peace when I don't get the things that I ask for. You know, sometimes God gives you everything you need to do His will, and to you it feels like there's still a lot missing. To you it feels like you're saying, okay, but there's still some things I need. Maybe like when you're Paul and it feels like you still need something to accomplish God's will, like, say, getting out of jail. Like, how am I supposed to do Your will, Lord? Here I am in jail. Maybe when you're single and it feels like, God, like it feels like You forgot something. How am I supposed to do Your will without a spouse? Or when you can't find work and it feels like, God, You forgot something. Like, how am I supposed to do Your will without a job? There may well be times when it feels like God has not given you what you need to accomplish the mission He's given you. And this is why you need that anchor. And that moment that you start to feel like, God, maybe God hasn't given me everything I need to accomplish His will. This is where you go back to what you believe is true. This anchor helps you because when you're convinced, no, God always gives me what I need to accomplish His will, then you begin to see, you know, maybe God has a mission for me to accomplish that doesn't require the things I thought I needed. You know, for Paul, he lacked freedom and at times food, but God had a mission for him to accomplish that didn't require those things. God gave him all he needed to accomplish His mission. And for you, you know, you may not have a job or a spouse or health or money, but God wants to work through you today. He has a mission for you to accomplish that may not require those things. And saints, depend on it. God, He will give you everything you need to accomplish His mission. So just to summarize this, when the storm hits, this is an anchor for me. No matter what I may think that I need or or maybe I don't have, God will give me what I need. And there's a peace and a courage that comes with that. There is a guilt that is lifted, I think, when you realize this is a burden that God wants to bear. He wants to carry for us. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. Because God is a sovereign God. God is a good God. God is a wise God. And God will always give me what I need.